SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The great Steve Popper is back on the show, Mafia. Can you believe it? From Newsday, covers the Knicks. Steve, it's great to see you. I hope you're well. Fantastic having you back on. I have to tell you, I just told you, I went to a game. It was literally like putting my kid through college for a semester, going to a Knick game. And now going to a playoff game is literally like buying a car.
It's crazy. The most expensive ticket I saw was $27,000, and it's $800 to get in, the worst seat in the house. It's insane. I told somebody, instead of buying that ticket, go buy a nice 75-inch TV, enjoy the game at home without crazy people chanting bing bong at you.
And then, is like, I've heard there's going to be like a scene outside of that arena tomorrow, like New Year's Eve. It's going to be out of control.
Yeah. They've been doing it even for the road games, bad weather, good weather. Tomorrow's supposed to be a nice day. It's an afternoon game. I would imagine it's going to be like St. Patrick's Day in Midtown Manhattan. There's going to be a lot of crazy people in the street, a lot of day drinking, lot of chanting, you know, a lot of F Boston. But, you know, it's fun. It's fun. Like I tell people that don't know, that haven't, you know, I've done this a long time. And people that lived through the two decades of horrendous play here when the franchise was a disaster. When New York is good, when the Knicks are good, New York is such a basketball town, such a Knicks town. And it just becomes a crazy environment. It's just, they take over the city. And I think you can see that here now. It's dancing in the streets, craziness.
I know. So I have been a part of the 2.5 decades of misery, and I'm a Knicks fan. I love the Knicks, and I have to tell you, Steve, that I thought that the games 1 and 2 in Boston were the two greatest things I think I've ever seen in 30 years. Like, I honestly couldn't remember. Like, when Melo beat them, it was no big deal. They weren't that good. But to beat that team, right, that was the champs, and how they had kicked the Knicks' ass like Kryptonite City, they can't beat them. They own the Knicks. And to win those two games down 20 each, I was losing my mind at my house. I was screaming, swearing. I couldn't sit down. My dog was barking. My daughter high-fived me 3,000 times in 2 nights. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen.
It's crazy. Look, for 2 decades, what did we have? We had Lin Sanity, a G Leaguer, coming up and lighting up the Garden for a couple of weeks.
That was it.
And that was it. That was the end of it. You know, anything else was sort of just strange, you know, nothing was great here. But look, last year's team, I think, captured the hearts of the city. They were sort of an overachieving, hardworking team. And I don't think this year's team had that. Like, last year it was crazy. This year they didn't have it. It was a team that, you know, a lot of money was spent on it, a lot of draft picks, a lot of doubts about what this team would be. And then I think maybe a little of the Detroit series, but really these two games in Boston, I think suddenly they are the underdogs again. They're the overachieving team that sort of the city fell in love with last year. And I think if they could win tomorrow and be on the verge of knocking out Boston on Monday night at the Garden, I just can't even imagine. These shut down the schools, shut down, you know, government. It's going to be crazy. Yeah, it's, you know, right. We'll wheel people into the party. It's going to be insane. And look, it already is. And I think it takes something like that. It's a feel good moment, but also guys who were letdowns all year, you know, Mikal Bridges had a rough year. For him to come up with the two defensive plays at the end of game one and two, suddenly he's on the back pages. He's beloved. I just think defense, effort, overachieving, that's what the city loves, and that's what this team's given them in this series so far.
Have you seen anything like that guy having nothing, and then he had 14 in the fourth quarter, and then in the stop, not the first game one, that was incredible enough when he stole the ball. But in the second game, to see that shot of him literally a foot over Tatum in the air. I mean, he was a foot over him. He was literally, his arm was a foot over the ball, and he was had his hand on the top of the ball, and OG was there as well, and they were both soaring over this dude, and he's a badass, but they have turned him into a pumpkin in this series. And I think Bridges, like I said the other day, I'm like, I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but he's already paid himself off. They all complained about all the draft picks, but those two stops were worth gold.
I think I joked on Twitter the other day is, you know, the draft picks that they gave up for those potential picks couldn't watch the game because they still have to be in bed for school the next day. So I think people don't care about what's happening, you know, years from now, 7 years from now. It's you know, it's about right now. And look, he has paid it off. You beat the Celtics in Boston with a steal. And look, the reputation he has is he's a very mild-mannered guy. And he's got a reputation as being a little soft. And when you rip the ball out of the hands of Jaylen Brown, when you make that aggressive leaping steal at the end of game two from Jason Tatum, you shake that reputation. And look, he should have shaken it because he's got – there's some sort of confidence I wish I had in life that you can be 2 for 12, 0 for 8, you know, enter the fourth quarter and hit big shots at the end and act like you knew all along that next one was going in. He doesn't seem like him at all. He's got a little John Starks in him, always believes the next one's going in. He's talked about how the teammates have kind of given him faith in that, that he always believes, but they tell him they do too. So it's kind of been crazy. It's you know, I think him and Towns – had moments in the Detroit series. I think that helps bring this team together in a way that, you know, they relied so much on Jalen Brunson. But when Towns has a heroic game and a great shot to win it in Detroit, when Bridges comes up big, now it becomes, you know, a team where everybody kind of feels it's them against the world. And I think that's where we're at now.
Do you think that, because I just think the Dirty Dog heart is incredible, and we already know that Brunson is clutch city. Do you think that Leo the 14th is actually at the Vatican right now praying for his Nova Cats to seal the deal against the Seas, the dreaded Seas, who I hate more than anything on earth?
I mean, we may have believed at the start of the series it takes divine intervention for the Knicks to upset them. But look, you know, it just seems everything always works out for these. For Brunson, for Hart, you know, for Bridges, for DiVincenzo when he was here. You know, I'm sure if Jay Wright wanted the job, he could have probably stepped in at any moment because right. Anything they've done with Villanova, it's just been, you touch it, you know, it turns to gold. I don't want to say divine intervention because it's a very Catholic city up there in Boston, but it seems to be on the Knicks side right now.
Screw him. I got one question for you. And respectfully, I got a minute. So here they are. And to me, their kryptonite has been the Pacers. Last year, I thought the Pacers got them when they had some injury problems. But they flat out beat them. And I thought, you know, they finished them off and, like, stuck a knife in their chest. Like, we're better than you. And we're deeper than you. And we're healthier than you. And we're going to do you. And now they're in it again. Tonight, playing game three at home. And they won the two like the Knicks did in Cleveland. Respectfully, I got 25 seconds. Do you think if they play the Pacers, hypothetically, that they'll have more problems with Indy? Because I do.
Well, it's hard to imagine because Boston is so good. It was so good during the regular season. But Indy's played great since an early struggle, you know, early struggles early in the season. And they don't play a way that the Knicks like to play. They come at you in waves, speed, scoring, running the ball up the court. So it's a tough one.
Steve, it's great seeing you. I love you. Good to have you on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always good to hook up with Steve Popper of Newsday, covers the Knicks. What a beat he's got. And he's, how funny is he talking about all these lunatic fans? He knows what he's going to see down there at the Garden tomorrow, inside the building and outside. It is like nothing you have ever seen in your life. I mean, you can take all the hockey teams and all those rowdy, you know, hockey parties they got in all these places where they show the fans going crazy. You can take all of them and all the NBA, all of them, and they don't stack up to the mob scene that they have in New York City. You understand here? We got 10 million people here in Manhattan. Okay? So when I tell you they get crazy, it's like nothing you have ever seen inside and outside the building. You can't even walk. Like, it's crazy. You don't even feel safe at all.
Right. And the one difference with the Knicks is, unlike every other sport in the city, the Knicks are the only team. Like, I know the Brooklyn Nets exist, but 90% of the basketball fans in New York, they're Knicks fans.
Right.
Like, it is a unified who everyone roots for. It's not like Yankees, Mets, Rangers, Islanders, Devils, Jets, Giants. The Knicks are a team that pretty much everyone in New York gets behind. And when they're good, like, I mean, I remember when I was a kid in the 90s, obviously 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, right. They were going, you know, they were everything. And it is if the Knicks win this round and they're one of the four teams left in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Forget it.
And maybe the city will just get more and more hyped with the Knicks.
Forget it.
Because they are the one true team that everybody gets behind and not split.
Let me just say, I go to games, and I go to Nets games even, and I got a friend whose wife's a powerful executive with the Nets, and I don't mooch off of him and go, but I go. I've gone to games. You know who I used to get? I used to get that FAN luxury suite. Chernoff used to give it to me. I'd go to a game or two a year, right, and take the kids. Going to Brooklyn to me is like pulling teeth. It's like going to Europe. I might as well go to Strong Island and go to the mob bar and hang out at your church and see another christening, because going to Brooklyn's a pain in the ass. Going to the Garden is like automatic. If someone says, yo, Pharrell, I got Knick tickets, let's go. I'm like, when are we leaving? What time do we leave? Like, I went the other day and it is something else, bro. You have got to, strap in, because you go down there with a buzz on, forget about it. I was eating tomahawks before the game. I had the rum going, and it was all happening.
Let me finish this hockey before we go to all the baseball for tonight. And everybody's playing tonight, should be good. The game three's tomorrow, 6 o'clock East, face-off in Raleigh. Game three, Caps and Hurricanes tied one game apiece. Big number here, pumped up to -190 for Carolina, plus +160 I've got for Washington, and +5.5.
Yeah, I think Carolina's going to rack them by two goals, and I'm going to get the 140 on the puck line. I like Carolina in Raleigh at home, no questions asked.
I like the under again. It's been, you know, low scoring games the first two. I think it's going to be under again. I do think, Scotty, Washington will get a game in Carolina. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe game four. I think they'll go back to D.C. two up for a three-game series.
You're always right about this stuff. I have my druthers. I think Carolina can win both games in Raleigh and go back 3-1. And then I think the Capitals will win, and it'll go back to Raleigh for a game six, and then we'll go back if necessary for a seven. I don't know if they'll finish them off in game six. The Caps will get it done. Who knows? All I know is I like them tomorrow. That's that.
Game three in Edmonton, as the Knights and the Oilers will shift scenes. 9 o'clock East face-off. With the Oilers up 2-0. Now, this is up to -130 for Edmonton, plus +110 for Vegas, and +6.5.
I mean, the freight train is a-rolling. I mean, it's Edmonton for me every night now. Like, they remind me of the L.A. Kings when I saw them win, 11 straight games to win the Stanley Cup? Like, they literally wouldn't lose ever. Yeah. That's what this team, they're six straight, and they're on the verge of it, and they're home for the next two. I think they win both.
Yeah, I'm a glutton for punishment, so I'm gonna go to Vegas again. I just can't. I just want to keep. I'm just like it's like that the Tom and Jerry cartoon where they just keep
this team. Like what do you need to see? I mean, they're just killing
keep
them.
Keep hitting me over the head with the mallet until I just, you know, it just keep hitting me over the head with the mallet.
Well, you make so much money with taters and golf that it's okay. It's like you don't even feel the lumps on your head. You get lumps, yeah. And you don't even feel them. They're like it's almost like a mosquito bite.
You feel them somewhat. You feel the lumps from time to time when they don't come in. That's for sure. There you go. The hockey.
Everybody loves hockey.
We got lots of baseball tonight that we have to get to. There was only four games last night. I'm going to quickly, when we come back, go through them all. We got a bunch of teams that are red hot. You were mentioning the Phillies, who have won 8 out of 10. They've won 3 in a row. St. Louis has won 5 in a row. I mean, Detroit's been smoking hot. They've won 4 in a row. The Royals have won 6 in a row.
Twins.
There's a lot of teams with Twins 5 in a row. So there's a lot of teams going into this weekend with some really good matchups that have been red hot for baseball here this weekend. So we're going to go through all that.
Yeah, last Friday we went 12-3. We have been cashing tickets in baseball all week. Yesterday, 7-2. It's just ridiculous. So we have been hitting games left and right, and there's all these steamers out there. Stanley Steamer City, their team's so hot. I mean, they're doing everything. You get the extra room free. They're doing the air ducts. You get the whole deal. When you got piping hot teams, I'm going to keep rolling. Same with the Oilers. I'm going to roll with these baseball teams that keep cashing tickets for me and making me money. I don't even like these teams. And they're making me money. I'm making money even against my team, the Pirates. Bet against them every night. I mean, you got free dinner by Saturday night. It's automatic.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Mike, I'm watching this Devers story just bleed all over the streets of Boston all week. And it just gets worse by the day. And this guy's like blaming the GM. He's refusing to play first base when they've lost two guys now. And he's like, one's still part of it. But meanwhile, in his last 34 games, he's hit almost 300. And he's had an on-base percentage through the roof. Remember, he started the season like 0-for, and he was Donut City. But he's been on a tear for the last 34 games with his bat. And he's like, this is what I do. This is what you told me I was going to do. I'm going to DH. That's it. I don't play first base. I wanted to play third. You put Bregman there. You screwed me. Now I'm not doing you any favors. That's the bottom line of what's happening here. Am I wrong?
Look, I think that there's a lot of people to blame for what's going on here. And this all should have been solved way back when in spring training. Now, look, did they know in spring training that the first baseman was going to rip his knee apart and then the next guy would get hurt the next day? I mean, look, you don't foresee those things going to happen. But there's a strain with him in the organization. Now there's the stuff today with the translation. It wasn't translated correctly, and it was – there's just – here's what's going to happen, and I think you said it yesterday, and this is where it's going to end. There's going to be a split is what's going to happen eventually. Eventually, clearly the GM probably don't like him. He don't like the GM. He don't like the anyway. There's going to be down the road, whether it's this offseason, hell, maybe it gets so bad it's before the trade deadline this year. Who knows? But there's going to be a parting of the ways at some point between all these two. Because
so
think about this, too.
They're going to get rid of him. They're not going to get rid of the GM. They're going to get rid of him.
The GM just got the job. Breslow just got the job. So I can't imagine, you know, he's the one who did all this. You know, the last GM's the one who told him, you're going to be our third baseman forever. You know, this new GM came in and said, yeah, that's not true. I'm making this guy the third baseman. I'm going to sign this guy. So clearly there's
I think
a
he
problem.
Did the right thing.
Well, from a fielding aspect, yeah, absolutely. But it's going to break up. And if you're – I saw this point get brought up. If you're his teammates now in the locker room, some who he's been with for a while, some he hasn't, what does it look like on the surface that he doesn't want to help the team? Because they're probably like, you know, they got some hack playing first base tonight. Toro, you know, playing first base the other day. They look like, you're not going to help us out? You know what? You're not a field? You know, it's just a messy situation. What a shame it's to the Red Sox. It's happening. I mean, that's just
the biggest shame of it all. It's killing me. I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to even get through the day, even to eat food. I don't know. I'm going to start eating pills. I mean, honestly, I don't know what to do. Like, I've called my shrink. He hasn't returned my calls. I mean, what am I going to do with the Celtics and Red Sox? And remember, they told us before the season started, the Red Sox were going to win the World Series. That was the word. They were the best team in baseball, going to win the World Series. And my effing ass to that.
I'm one of the few on that under. I got that under for their win total this year. So they could just keep on fighting with each other and keep on losing games. That would be the best thing for me. All right, lots of late inning heroics last night. Quickly, the Phillies beat the Rays 7-6 in 10. They were down most of the night. They rally, get it to extra innings, and then Brandon Marsh making a sighting on NBC Sports Philadelphia in the 10th.
And Marsh lines one out toward left center field. Well, that's going to be in for a base hit. Here comes Sosa. He'll score. Marsh to second, and the Phillies have taken the lead.
They've won 3 in a row and 8 of 10. Enough said.
Indeed, they have. More walk-off heroics, this time in Atlanta. The Braves had to rally to tie it with the Reds. And then in the 11th, Drake Baldwin. Who on FanDuel Sportsnet?
Through the left side! Ozzie's coming home! And the Braves win it in 11!
I told you.
The rookie Baldwin delivers. A little Truist magic tonight.
Yeah, they're going to be 500 tonight, by Saturday, Sunday. They're going to be over 500. And then they're not going to be a 500 baseball team the rest of the way. They're going to be a dangerous team the rest of the way and finish with a winning record well above 500.
Also last night, Jays beat the Angels 8-5. Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 5-3. The big blow was a grand slam from Gabriel Moreno. His first of the year. Fott pitched great into the 7th, allowed no runs. He struck out 6. The Tigers swept a doubleheader in Colorado. Casey Mize won a 6th game. Best record in baseball with the Dodgers now at 25-30.
I like it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we got a bevy of games tonight around the majors, Carver High. I'm very interested to see how the Yankees do in West Sactown because they never did well in the Astray in Oakland. Will that carry over to Sactown?
Yeah, and that'll probably be the last game we get to. And, man, what a total they got in that game tonight with apparently some hot temperatures and some wind blowing out in Sacramento. Let's start, though, in Pittsburgh as it's baseball night at BNC. Whoa. For the Pirates and the Braves, where you will get Bryce Elder and Bailey Falter this evening. Braves minus -145, plus +120 for the Pirates, and an 8.5.
Oh, I love the Braves here. I know they're excited. Don Kelly's the new manager, his first game tonight and everything else. The problem is, and then I see all these people betting the over. Okay, the Pirates don't score any runs ever. Ever. So give me the Braves and the Elder Statesman. I mean, just automatic.
Maybe
I don't care who the manager is.
Maybe they're thinking that the Braves will score 9 runs by themselves tonight. Maybe the Braves get the over.
Well, I mean, Elder gives up 6 runs a game, so I mean, anything's possible.
Elder,
there. You can
Elder,
be right.
Elder gives up a lot.
So
of
does
runs.
Elder.
Yeah. Elder gives up a ton.
Tonight, Elder's going to look like Cy Young because he's facing the Pirates with their weak ass bats.
They do have that. Texas, as I was quickly mentioning before the break, now tied with the Dodgers for the best record in baseball at 25-13. They head home for a weekend series with the Texas Rangers. Patrick Corbin and Tarek Skubal tonight. -290 for Detroit, +235 for Texas and a 7.5.
Scooble run line the Tigers at -140. They'll get it done. Scooble's going to eat them up tonight at Comerica.
The Cardinals will be in D.C. this weekend against the Nationals. Eric Fetty and Mitchell Parker Lewis can't lose. I got this -110 both ways right now. 8.5 for the total.
We never bet against Mitchell Parker. Can never lose, ever.
Never. It's very hard to bet against him. I don't care that the Cardinals have won 5 in a row. They've only won 5 in a row because they just played the Pirates. That's why they won 5 in a row. They got Shelton fired, which was a good thing for you. So the Cardinals did you a favor. Milwaukee will be down in Tampa at Steinbrenner Field. Jose Quintana tonight for the Brewers. Zach Littell goes for the Rays. Brewers -120, even money for Tampa, and a 9.5. Wind blowing out at Steinbrenner Field tonight.
I mean, what is Quintana over the last 2 years? Like 40-1? I mean, this guy's unbelievable. I'm on the Brew Crew here. With that cheap-ass price at -120, I am pouncing on Quintana.
Cubs and the Mets at Citi Field tonight. I guess this is one we could say if they get it in. It's pretty rainy this evening in the New York area. But Jameson Shots at Tyone and Clay Holmes will be the starters when they do. -135 for the Mets, +115 for the Cubbies, and a 7.5.
Yeah, I think, believe it or not, I like the under in this one. They've both been great, and I like the Mets at Citi Field always. They've been playing great at home all year.
I will say, a lot of people, including myself, did a lot of laughing about the Clay Holmes thing when the Mets signed him to be a starter in the offseason. I got to say, 4-1 with a 2.95 hasn't allowed a homer in 36 innings pitched this year. Clay Holmes has been pretty good for the Mets.
Been great.
So you got to tip your cap to them a little bit. Where was that last year? As Luke, where was that with the Yankees last year, Clay Holmes?
Or the year before that.
The Phillies are in Cleveland against the Guardians. Aaron Nola and Gavin Williams tonight. -120 for the Phillies. We told you how hot they've been. Guardians even money and a 7.5.
Phillies winning streak ends tonight at Progressive in Cleveland. Williams will beat Nola. Nola's been ass mustard.
He has not been good. Boston, they are in Kansas City. The Royals have been red hot. Hunter Dobbins against Michael Lorenzen tonight. Ooh, that sounds like runs. -115 for the Red Sox. How would a Red Sox favored tonight? Royals -105 at an 8.5.
I am so on Kansas City. It's not even funny with that brisket and onion ring sandwich. Are you kidding me at the K? Give me the Royals. They're on fire.
Two of the worst in baseball so far. The Marlins and the White Sox getting together in Chicago. Miserable night there also. Just absolute cold. Going to be cold there for Max Meyer and Bryce Wilson. -135 for the Marlins. +115 for Chicago and an 8.5.
I like the fish.
How could you not? I mean, it's so rare you get them as a favorite. If you're dogs to the Marlins, you really suck. That's where the White
Sox
are right now.
They're
really
bad. But they got
really the
Pope. By the way, you know that, right? The Pope. It's been confirmed. He was a Sox fan, never a Cub fan.
White Sox fan. Yes, White Sox fan for the new Pope. Reds are in Houston against the Astros. Nick Martinez and Hunter Brown tonight. Brown's been very good, as you know. -2 Bills for the Astros, +165 for Cincinnati, and a 7.5.
I mean, I am on the run line here with Brown and the Stros at +111, laying the 1.5. I like the Astros big tonight.
Giants and the Twins will be in Minnesota at Target. Tonight, you're going to get Jordan Hicks and Chris Paddock. -115 for the Giants, -105 for Minnesota, and an 8.5.
I'm not getting off the Twins. They're hot right now. I think the Giants story has been unbelievable. I was talking to my buddy out there last night. He's like, it's unbelievable how they're winning. But the Twins are really smoking right now. I'm going to keep with them at Target and get the Giants napping tonight on the road.
The Padres are stopping at Colorado on their way back from the East Coast.
Friars.
They'll have Randy Vasquez tonight against Antonio Santazella. Minus 165 and an 11.5. This Santazella, you know, he stinks. He's given up 8 homers already this year.
Friars, I like the Friars run line at -135 and the over 11.5. I think the Padres are going to absolutely destroy them all weekend.
The Orioles have been awful on the road. They've lost 6 in a row on the road. They go to Anaheim, though, who stink as well. Sugano's going for Baltimore tonight. Kyle Hendricks goes for the Angels. Minus 135 for Baltimore, plus $1.15 for Anaheim, and a 9.5.
The losing streak ends tonight for the O's with Sugano over Jimi Hendricks.
Sugano over Jimi Hendricks. Dodgers and Diamondbacks again in Arizona. Suzuki goes for the Dodgers. You'll have Eduardo Rodriguez for the Snakes, who are favored. Minus 125. Rare. You get the Dodgers at plus money tonight. Plus 105 and a big fat 10.5 total.
I love the Dodgers tonight and Suzuki, the town crier, at even money.
He really isn't going to... He's not going to let that go. Him Ever. Crying on the bench. It's just not going to leave him for a while. Toronto is going to Seattle after a couple days in Anaheim. It'll be Kevin Gausman and Luis Castillo. And by the way, thank you to the Mariners for trading the other Luis Castillo
thank
to the
God.
Orioles. So now they're both not on the Mariners anymore.
Thank God.
Just the good Luis Castillo is on the Mariners, and he's pitching tonight. Minus 150, plus 125 for Toronto, and a 7.5.
Yeah, I got King Louie at -140. Give me M's at T-Mobile.
We will come back. I've only got one other game, and it's that Yankee game in Sacramento. Wait till you hear the total in that one, and we'll put some taters in the mix as well. Including one, yes, in Sacramento. How could we not have a tater out there tonight?
Whoa.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's almost Miller time, and we still got the Bombers playing in Sacramento. And then, of course, taters, very crucial on a pain-free Friday, almost Miller time.
It is very crucial. So this is the final game of the night, just after 10 o'clock East, out in Sacramento at Sutter Health Park, where the Yankees will come there for the first time. They will bring Will Warren with them tonight, who, as you know, he stinks. Osvaldo Beto is going for the A's.
Beto.
That means you get a fat 10.5. I've even seen some 11s at some places this afternoon as well. Yankees are minus 145, A's plus 120, and a big 10.5. Wind's blowing out tonight. Hot night. Should be good for long balls.
Yeah, I like the over, and I like Libido and the A's in a payoff. If I can get him at over $1.22, why not? I think Warren stinks too.
There you go. That is your games for tonight in baseball. But like I said, how can we not leave without at least putting a couple taters on the board for us? Here we go. I'm going to start the chalkier one. It's going to be late night in Anaheim. Gunnar Henderson. Been a little quiet lately, but he's been hitting the ball hard, and we get Kyle Hendricks tonight. You know I love going after Kyle Hendricks because he gives up plenty of long balls, plus three bills for Gunnar Henderson there. Next, into Colorado. Padres probably going to beat the Rockies up all weekend. The Santazella's going tonight. Jackson Merrill, plus 420 for the Friars.
Machado and Tatis, too.
Yes. Next, we'll go to Pittsburgh. You thought the Braves are going to beat up on this Falter tonight? Matt Olson's got a homer off him in his career, plus 440 for him. Hit one out in that bridge out there, right in the Clemente Bridge, right out the right center field if he'd like to. The Yankee game. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Yankee prices tonight against Beto, they're kind of ridiculous. Like Judge is plus 150, Rice is plus 260, some really, really low numbers, which I don't tend to love. But I know that Warren stinks, so I'm going to get some A guys in the mix here too. The Butler's been hot, hitting a couple bombs this week. plus 450 for the Butler tonight against Will Warren. Last night, we rang the bell with Junior Caminero for the Rays against the Phillies. Well, guess what? I'm going right back to him against the Brewers tonight in Tampa. Plus 475 for him.
Whoa.
And Freddie Freeman, 6-12 with a homer off of Eduardo Rodriguez in his career, and a nice number at plus 560. Gunner, Merrill, Olson, the Butler, Caminero, and Freddie Freeman tonight for the Friday night taters.
I mean, Freeman's automatic against Rodriguez in the desert.
Crushes him.
He just hit two of them while we were talking.
He loves hitting off him, and he loves hitting in that ballpark in Arizona. So hopefully we get ourselves a little Freddie Freeman action tonight out there. So there you go. Baseball, big weekend. Let's ride with the taters. All right. This story, we'll go to this now, because this was bizarre this morning. This has been bizarre, right? The Belichick
stuff. Very bizarre.
With the girlfriend.
How bizarre.
The Belichick stuff with the girlfriend has been so weird. 2 weeks ago, you had the CBS stuff with the interview, her getting involved in the interview. Then there was a story this morning that North Carolina reportedly banned the girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, from the team's football facility. So that, of course, caused a lot of media, spanning all the social media posts, etc. The school took them a few hours, but then they put out a statement saying that that's not true at all. She's not an employee of North Carolina. She's allowed in our football facility. Now, for a guy that, and you've said this, for a guy who spent his life, his 20-plus years in New England, avoiding everything like this, what is going through his head now? That he has now become there's nothing about football with him anymore. Nothing.
Well, first of all, he's got to be tripping that he's, you know, sleeping with a 24-year-old. That's got to get him, like, at least his blood flowing. I bet he doesn't have arthritis now. He's probably feeling pretty good about himself. But I'll say this. I think if they would have banned her from the football facility, I think he would have quit. I do. I think he would have said, you're not telling me what to do, and you're not telling my girlfriend she can't come in this building. This whole relationship ends now, here and now. I honestly believe that because he's such a hard ass. No one tells this guy what to do. And I guarantee you, he has more power at that school now than the president of the University of North Carolina. I guarantee it. But whatever, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, whatever you want to call it, I'm not a fan, so I don't care what they do. But I'm telling you what, when they gave that guy the reins to the football program for 2 years, he's in charge of that school. He's in charge. And no one's telling him that his girlfriend can't go in there. But I will say this, she is painful. I don't need to see any more. I already saw enough. Like, that chick in that interview with CBS this morning, that was so unbelievable how painful she is. Some 24-year-old chick thinking she's got all the cards. Like, shut up. You're like a child. Like, no one respects anybody, like, in the real world under the age of 25. Is that about right? Like, I mean, what am I, tripping here? Like, when I got a job at 23 with CBS, every single person in that city mocked me that I shouldn't have that job. I'm too young, too cocky, too loud, too show off. I'm not wrong. No one respects 20-year-olds. I don't care if you're 20 right now and you don't like it. You know it's true, too. No one listens to 20-year-olds. And you got to listen to this painful chick? Are you kidding me? I'd be like, listen, honey, shut up. And you can quote me on that. Listen, honey, you're tripping. Shut up.
Had that other story a couple days ago that, remember, she was in that Super Bowl commercial with him and that she, like, forced her way into the commercial. Well, she was in it, and apparently she, like, forced her way into the commercial. It's, like, really, really bizarre for Bill.
Can you believe Affleck and all those guys put up with that?
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody loves leftovers, but I will say this, that Carver High's the movie critic. I watched that Kidman baby girl porno movie where she's doing a 20-year-old and cheating on Banderas, her husband. And I think that Bill Belichick's daughter, whatever you want to call her, I think she'd be perfect on that movie. Get her in that porno, too, because she's worthless. She has no other reason to be anywhere on earth doing anything with that guy. I mean, honestly, I don't know how many times I got to say this. Is there anything more perverted than a 72-year-old sleeping with a 24-year-old? I mean, honestly, like, you got to give him credit. That is some big ball and stuff there, Billy. Nice work. I mean, who needs anything else if you're like 72 and you're sleeping with a 24-year-old? I mean, honestly.
Leftover time on Coast to Coast. We'll start with this. 16-team college football playoff reportedly becoming more preferred by Power 5 commissioners to start in 2026. So they already are trying to add four more teams into the mix after this year. They should fix their problems this year, but you're not going to do, I saw. Remember, did you see that earlier in the week where you know, changing the seeding, which was stupid this year, having the top four, they don't want to do that or something. They don't want to it's going to cause problems and all this stuff. Just make it right. Fix it.
Change everything. Change it to 16 and get it right. The seeding, like, what are you doing? You're going to just keep doing it the wrong way? Good luck with that.
The Raiders and first-round pick Ashton Jeanty agree to the four-year rookie deal worth $35.9 million. Remember, a lot of these all the rookie deals now, it's slotted. They all get paid a certain amount depending on where they're picked. The Colts did the same with first-round tight end Tyler Warren. He gets his rookie deal. Abdul Carter, after weeks of nonsense with what number he's going to wear, ask an LT, I guess, for 56 LT. And what are they talking to Phil Simms about? Or Phil Simms talking about 11? Either way, he's going to wear 51.
How about your boy LT just like, no.
Get serious. Like, and you know what?
I'm Lawrence Taylor.
Good for LT for doing that.
The greatest player in their franchise history. And you want to rub the guys in the Hall of Fame. And you want to you want his number. You must be tripping, kid.
Yeah. Texans rookie wide receiver Jaden Higgins from Iowa State. He did something nobody else has done before. He gets a four-year, $11 million deal. Remember, he's a second-round pick, fully guaranteed. He's the first second-round pick in NFL history to get a fully guaranteed deal.
A groundbreaker.
Texans, groundbreaker for Jaden Higgins.
Now every second-round pick should go for it.
I had to make sure that now you're right, though. Now the domino starts, because now every second-round pick is going to say, I'm better than that guy. He got fully guaranteed money. Why aren't I getting fully guaranteed money? I couldn't believe this story was true, but it was.
It is.
46-year-old Manny Pacquiao, reportedly set to unretire and fight Mario Barrios for the WBC welterweight title. I have two things for you here that you could answer for me. Number one, why the hell is he going to fight again at 46 years old? And number two, even if he was coming back, he gets to fight for a title already? The guy's in foot years. He's 46 years old. He gets a title fight right out of the gate? What are we doing here?
And he's already finished. His last several fights were embarrassing. So, like, at the end, it's the end. And boxers never know when to stop. They just keep coming out, and it only gets worse. Manny Pacquiao fighting at 46. No thanks. Pharrell finished hooligans on dirt bikes, ATVs, and souped up cars overrun downtown Kansas City and terrorize local neighborhoods. Hooligans. A kayaker attacked and killed and eaten by an alligator in a Florida state park. Here is a place that I do not go kayaking. where there's alligators. I don't go in the water to hit golf balls down in Florida either. I don't go into the rocks in Palm Springs hoping to run into a copperhead or a rattlesnake. New Jersey dad beat to death in front of his teen daughter after confronting a family friend and his son over an alleged assault. He went over to kick some ass and instead was beaten to death. Front Office Sports Today is next, then ETD, then In Game Live, then Sports Rage, Carver and Lisi tonight at 8. Search Pharrell for the Pharrell app. It's badass. We'll see you Monday at 3. Have a great weekend. I'm Kaiski.